To say that we're living in unusual times would be an understatement. To say that things are different than what they were at the beginning of the year would be an understatement. And then on top of the COVID, on top of the riots that are taking place, on top of the unrest that is in our nation that we see day in and day out that we're forced to watch, if you watch any of the news, all this captivates our mind. Then plus you got everything in your life that you have to tend to and try to take care of besides all this other stuff that you're watching and that you're seeing. And I'll be honest with you this morning, it is enough to drive you crazy. And I want to preach this morning for just a little while on what to do when life drives you crazy. And look in your Bible this morning, Psalms 107. I want you to stand to your feet, if you would, while we reverence the reading of God's Word. Begin to read with me in verse 23. The Bible said, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep." You ever been out in the ocean? And you ever been out in the deep and you can see things out there that you can't see here on land? And I tell you what, I think we've explored probably more of outer space than we have explored of the ocean sometimes. But he said right here, "These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of all, out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You. Lord, I beg of You this morning and tell You how much that we truly need You to come by. We cannot preach on our own. And Lord, no doubt there is folk in here this morning, if not just a few, maybe all of us, that seem to be at our wits' end sometimes. And Lord, seems like the world is driving us crazy. Seems like our adversary is beating on us and wearing us out. And Lord, I just pray this morning that for the one that needs help, I pray that this message would help them and guide them and comfort them. If there is one here that is lost and undone without You, I pray they'd come to get saved. Lord, to realize that You are soon to return. And they need to be saved. And more than that, death is just a step away and could leave out of here at any time and need to be prepared. But what great comfort and joy that we have in our heart that are saved today that can only come by You. I pray You'd help the one that has a need. And might You be honored and glorified in all this message this morning. I thank You for the singing that's already been sung. What a blessing. Lord, it's been to my heart, and I pray that You'd help us now. Save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray, amen, and amen. As we look in this chapter, as the psalmist tells us in that, if you look in the whole chapter, he talks about bad times, and then he talks about good times. He talks about coming through the bad, calling upon God and God moving and God delivering. We'll look at this chapter while we preach, but listen, I want to focus and deal with verse 27 where it talks about those that are in the sea. When they get in the midst of their trouble and in the midst of their storm, how that they stagger to and fro like a drunk man and are at their wits' end. Many of us have probably said that at times. I am at my wits' end. That word "wit" literally means an understanding or a mental power. It means the faculty or the soundness of your mind. In other words, talking about being crazy. Have you ever just thought that things was going to drive you crazy? Situations was going to affect your mind so much, whether it was worry or whether it was concern or just not knowing what to do. Have you heard that statement here lately? Even I've made that statement. I just don't know what to do. Don't know how to act or how to react. Everybody's got an opinion and everybody thinks their opinion is right. The media is telling us one thing. Their numbers change every day. What they tell us. I mean, listen, I don't believe nothing that is told to me on the TV. You can feel that way if you want to. You don't have to, but I feel that way. I feel like they're lying to us. And even when they're telling us the truth, you don't even know if it's the truth because we've been lied to so much. It's enough to drive you crazy. And listen, I'm not going to play psychiatrist this morning, but I do want to look at the Word of God because He understands that there's times in our life that it's going to drive us a little crazy. He understands that when we get to our wit's end, that there are times that we worry or that we're concerned or life is so pressing or that depression or discouragement comes in. Notice right here in verse 26, as I read, he talks about that what? As they go out into the sea, the waves raise up and their soul melts because of what? Trouble. Trouble. Said trouble has come and their soul is melted. Said they reel to and fro. And in verse 28 says that they were in distresses. Now people will say, I'm too blessed to be depressed. And I hope that is the truth. But sometimes the rug gets jerked out from under you. And just saying that statement ain't good enough. You ask the people how they are. They say, I'm too blessed to be depressed, and I honestly hope they believe that and mean that and live by that. But there are some times that just that little statement won't work. So I want to look at this morning at what do we need to do when life drives us crazy, because there's some things we can do to get us through this with the help of the Lord, and it's going to be His help. First of all, if you're lost this morning, let me say by way of introduction, you need to get saved. He's the only help that can settle your mind and settle your heart. I mean, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, you ought to know this. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So you run to Christ Jesus the Lord, and He will help you to get saved if you need to get saved. And let me encourage you this morning that if you are lost, you need to get saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. He's the only hope and the only help that you'll ever have is in Christ. He cannot, and listen, this world cannot help you. It cannot help me. It's Christ Jesus the Lord that will help me when I need Him. But I want to look at about five or six things this morning that I believe that we can learn from this chapter what to do when life drives you crazy. Number one, first of all, what to do when life drives you crazy is we need to give thanks. Go back and look in verse 1 and notice what the psalmist says. He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. You know, when life begins to drive you crazy, look up to heaven and begin to thank God for all that He's done. I mean, we're living in an unthankful time and in an unthankful time period in our nation and in our life. Folk are just unthankful. If you go back and you look in Romans chapter 1, one of the problems that they had over there was not only lifting themselves up above God, but said they were unthankful. Listen, we're in a generation, we're in a nation where folk are not thankful for anything. Hey, but listen this morning, if we're going to get through this time of craziness in our heart and in our mind and let God help us and strengthen us, we're going to have to look up to heaven and say, Lord, I want to thank You for all the blessings. I want to thank You and that for saving me. I want to thank You for bringing me from where You found me and bring me to where You got me. Now, I want to thank You, God, because You're the one that done that. I couldn't have done that, Lord. I couldn't have done none of this stuff. I couldn't have provided for my family. I couldn't have done all these things that's been accomplished in my life. I could not have done this. And we need to look up to heaven and realize the Creator's up there, the one that loved us and saved us and brought us to it all, and say, Lord, I want to thank you. I'm telling you, when's the last time you just got along by yourself and you didn't go to the Lord in your daily time of prayer and begin to cry out for needs, but said, Lord, I just want to thank you today. I'm not coming to you to ask you to help. I'm not coming to you to tell you a need or a burden that I have. But Lord, I just want to thank you for saving me. I want to thank you that you found me where you found me and you loved me enough not only to die for me at Calvary, but you loved me enough to deal with my heart. And you moved on me and you convicted me and you sought me out and you saved me where you found me. And now it's because of you I am where I am today. Hey, that'll change your mind about some things when you begin to thank God for what he's done. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's a little tough when you're going crazy to even get in a mindset of thankfulness. It's a little hard to get there. I'm going to be honest with you, because we get burdened down with so much. I get under oppression and depression and compression. And man, it's hard to look up sometimes. But we need to look up and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. Listen, it's not only because he saved us. If you go over to Colossians, take your Bible and go to Colossians chapter 1 and look at what the Apostle Paul said in that about thanking God and for his salvation. Colossians chapter 1, and begin to read in verse 12. Colossians 1 and verse 12, he said this. Let me back up. He said in verse 11, he said, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now listen, when we're going crazy, it's hard and that to have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, ain't it? Listen, when we're under oppression, when we're under, and we ain't many of us under persecution from outside, but I'll be honest with you. Listen, when we can be strengthened with his might and with his power, listen, then we can have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And then he said in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us and the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul said we need to thank the Lord for what he's done. He said, look, we're going to have patience and long-suffering. And then he said, with joyfulness. How do you have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness when you're under oppression, when you're going crazy? You may not have ever been there. Bless your heart. And I hope that you never get there. I feel, not that I am, but I feel like the Apostle Paul sometimes in one aspect. Not only do I see what's going on out there, not only do I feel like our nation is crumbling before our very eyes, a nation that I love, and the older I get, the more I love it, but it just seems like it's falling down around us. We see the sickness that's going on, and you really don't know how to feel about that stuff. And then I look at all you all and I try to carry your burdens along with you at the same point and the same time. Now I want you to feel sorry for our little old preacher. Don't feel sorry for our, no, don't do that. I'm just telling you, sometimes I feel like I'm going a little crazy. And listen, it's when we look up to heaven and we thank the Lord. And he says, oh, that what? Back in the text verse, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. When's the last time have you ever said, Lord, thank you for your goodness. You've been good to me and my family. You've been real good to me and my family. I mean, you've kept me healthy. You've watched over us through the night. You've blessed us far more than what we've ever deserved, because it sure ain't been me that's brought all this on. It's been the Lord. I'm telling you, the Bible said in Nahum chapter 1, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Said the Lord's good.
Ain't he been good to you? I mean, he began to look back. And I'm going to tell you what, when you think that life is driving you crazy, you look up to heaven and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for all the good things that you've done. But notice what he said right here. Number two, not only when life is driving us crazy do we need to give thanks unto the Lord, and he's worthy for all our thanks. Then he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. You know, not only do we give thanks, but then we ought to give a testimony, shouldn't we? It's one thing to get along by yourself and look up to heaven and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. But when's the last time you ever got in the congregation of God's people and said, let me just tell you what God's done for me? When's the last time that you've ever praised him? He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. When's the last time you just bragged on God in front of everybody else? Notice what he said down here in verse 3. And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. That's a lonely way, a gloomy way. Said they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried unto the Lord, and in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. But when's the last time? He said, let me tell you what the Lord's done for me. When I was lost, he found me and saved me. Well, let me tell you about some bad times that we've went through, and the Lord has just brought us. I'm going to tell you something. It's not only to give a testimony here so that he can get the glory out of it, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you testify, that's to help somebody else. You know, you don't know who's sitting in his church house. You don't know who's listening. You don't know what somebody has been through this week, this month, this year, the past 2 or 3 years. You don't know what people's been through. You just see them on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. A lot of times they put on a smile, come in, tell you everything's all right, and leave and go back out. And listen, sometimes they need to hear what you've been through. They need to know that God helped you. They need to know that God was present in your life. They need to know that God answered your prayer when you cried out, and that he'll do the same for them. They were at their wits' end. They were going crazy. But yet he said not only to thank the Lord, but to give a testimony. Psalms chapter 66, the psalmist said, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. He said, if you'll just come and listen, I'll tell you all that he's done for me. I'll tell you about all of it. How that he saved me, how that he found me. He'll save you if you're lost. But listen today. I listen in the dark of the midnight. I listen, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I know those scriptures are true. I understand that this whole book is true. But sometimes you need to hear what somebody's been through and know that God will do the same thing for you. Testifying is not about you. It's about him. And it's about what he's done for you. We come in here and we don't testify much on Sundays, Sunday morning especially, but on occasion we do, but on Sunday night and Wednesday night especially, I don't want to come in and tell about what God has done. I'm telling you, we need a testimony in this church house to tell what God's done for us, what he's brought us from and brought us to, and everything in between, how good God's been. Folk, now you say, well, folk can see. No, they need to hear it. They need to hear it. They need to hear you give glory. Some of y'all ain't never done that, and you need to do that. You know what? Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe the Lord bears on your heart sometimes. Do you know that it's always, let me say this, when we open the floor for testimonies especially, it's okay if you testify. You say, well, it ain't pressing on me real hard. It's still okay. It's okay for you to say, well, I will thank the Lord for what he's done for me, he saved me. If that's all you want to say, that's fine. But you ought to have a testimony. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He didn't say when it moves you. He didn't say when it pushes on you. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We ought to say so. We ought to have a testimony in this church house. We ought to have a testimony out in that world. Listen, we are to tell folk about how good He's been to us. So let me tell you what the Lord done. Find you a lost man out there and say, let me tell you about what the Lord done. He was so good to me. What are you talking about, preacher? The Bible said in Romans, is it chapter 2? I say, it is the goodness of the Lord that leadeth thee to repentance. You ought to tell about the good things of the Lord. I understand the world needs to hear about judgment. We preach on judgment and warn. Paul said, warning every man that Jesus is coming. Need to do that. But they need to hear about the good things of the Lord. How that He'll help them. He'll save them. We need a testimony. We need a testimony out in this world. Peter said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you of meekness and fear. When life's driving you crazy, boy, get your testimony out. Not only thank the Lord, but then testify. Say, preacher, man, we're so sad. And listen, there are going to be sad times in our life. The Lord understands that. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us that. There's a time to laugh, a time to cry. Ain't there not a time to mourn? The Bible tells us over there. We understand those things. But I'm talking about when life impresses on us or compresses or depresses on us so much that it's about to drive us crazy, that we're at our wits' end. We'll look up to heaven and begin to thank Him. Listen, give a testimony of what the Lord's done for you. Then look right here in verses. There's four times it says it in this chapter. Number three, what we do when life is about to drive us crazy, then you just cry out to the Lord. Look in verse 6. It said they done what? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Look in verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Look in verse 19. And then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. Verse 28. Notice what it says. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. I think the Lord understands that we have distresses. I think the Lord understands that. There's a lot of people thinks the Christian life is going to be easy. They think that we're never going to have trouble, we're never going to have problems. And I'll be honest with you, they some folk got so great a faith, it's like it don't matter what trouble comes their way, they'll stand upright and they'll face it and they'll go right through it. And it seems like they never worry or never get concerned. They never wonder if God's going to be there. It's like they've got great faith. And would to God I had that faith someday. And I know that if I struggle, I know that some of you all struggle. But the Lord does know what you're going through and what I'm going through. But He wants us to cry out to Him. It said they done what? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Well, preacher, you just told me to thank the Lord, not to go to Him with problems. I understand that. But you know, there comes a time you just need to gather up around the altar and say, Lord, I know You know the mess that this whole thing is causing. And I know You know the mess that's driving me crazy. This thing is about to wear me out. And Lord, I can't deal with it. I mean, it's just tough. It's too tough for me. Listen, Hebrews 4 said, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to be here. He knows what it's like to be in the flesh. He knows what it's like to be tempted and to have the infirmities in the flesh and have to be bothered. But friend, He knows all those things and He wants to help us. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I'm still learning how to cast my care upon Him. I'm still learning. At 45 years old and been saved for a long time, I'm still learning how to let those things go and let Him handle them. I'm still learning how to cry out from my heart. The Bible said over in Psalms 34, this poor man cried. You ever feel that way? Like a poor man. I'm not talking about physically poor. I'm just talking about poor all over. He said this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You ever just feel that way? There's nothing you can do. When he's talking about a poor man, he ain't got no way to do nothing. What's the old saying? Poor man's got poor ways, ain't he? I feel that way some days. But you know what he said? This poor man cried in the Lord and he heard him. You know, all the poor's God's just the Lord. If you go back and you read the Old Testament, you know, over in the book of Proverbs, I believe he tells us over there, you know, if you neglect the poor, he said he'll cry out and the Lord will hear him and he'll avenge him because you neglected him. But listen, the poor man, I feel that way sometimes. But he said, you know what they done four times in the scripture? Said that they done what? They cried out unto the Lord. And the Lord heard them. He will come by and he will help us. You know what you need to do when life just gets to you? Say, I've been crying out, keep crying out. If you got to go every day, listen, I listened to the preacher this morning preaching. Was it out of Isaiah 55, maybe Psalm 55? I can't remember now, but he talks about how that he would go and that he would pray at morning and evening and at noon. Listen, he said, I'm going to go pray three times a day and cry out to God. If you got to cry out all the time and say, Lord, I just need some help. Help me to trust you and lean on you and look to you and show me how to do those things. You keep crying out until the Lord comes by. Psalms 25, the troubles of my heart and Lord's, bring thou me out of my distresses, David said, the psalmist then. Cry out. Cry out. Psalms 121 said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. What to do when life drives you crazy? You cry out. You cry out to the Lord. He will hear and he will help. It is amazing. Psalm 62, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. He's where we can run to and hide. Only in the Lord. This world ain't going to help us, but the Lord will. Cry out and say, Lord, I just want to hide in your pavilion. Would you put me in your pavilion for a little while? Hun, help me. Just give me some help to get through the day. Have you ever been there? Just give me some help to get through the day. He said, what here? He said, what is it? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. I'm glad the Lord sends deliverance. I'm glad the Lord sends deliverance. Now, it don't tell us how long they were in their trouble. It don't tell us how long they were in their storm or in their fight or whatever it may be. And I know I preach on fighting and battling and all these things. But you know what I've learned? We're all in a fight and in a battle day in and day out. You don't know what to do part of the times. And I'll just be honest with you. If you just pray and seek the Lord and say, Lord, would you give me some wisdom on this thing and help me? Whatever it is. Say, Lord, would you give me some wisdom of what to do here and some direction? You know what the Lord will do? He'll give you some direction. You know what you need to do? Not only do you need to thank the Lord, not only do you need to give a testimony to the Lord, not only do you need to cry out to the Lord, then notice what he said right here in verse 20. After it said that, then they cry unto the Lord in verse 19 in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You need to read your Bible. Don't go on what you feel. Boy, I heard a great message on that last night. A lot of people, they'll read the Bible and then they'll say, well, this is my experience right here. You junk your experience because your flesh will lie to you. But this Bible never will. Amen? I mean, this Bible is true. No matter what, it won't lie to you. You need to read your Bible. The Bible said in Psalms 119, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know what will help you, this book? You know what will help me, this book right here? It said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. He has given us his word to help us. He has given us his word to have something to hold on to and something to cling to and something to trust to while we're here, and something to guide us and give us enlightenment and to light our way and our path while we're going crazy. When you read it, you're going to have to believe it and trust it. It's hard to do when you're going crazy, ain't it? When life is driving you crazy. You need the Bible. Romans 15 said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through, I've quoted this three or four times the past 2 or 3 weeks, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You read this and it'll be this book that gives you hope. It'll be this book that gives you direction. Everything in this book points to Christ. Everything in this book points to Him from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelations 22. Listen, it points to Him. And He's our help. You need to read your Bible and believe it. Where He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You read over there about in the Old Testament where folk got in trouble. And the Lord, you know, have you ever read the book of Psalms? And have you ever read 1 and 2 Samuel and seen about David's life and then compare them to the book of Psalms and see all that? You know, David's life was like this. It was a literal roller coaster ride. He loved God. He literally loved God, and his whole life was a roller coaster, up and down. Some of it was of his own making, and some of it was of his adversary. And it was up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. I tell you, when I was a young Christian, I always thought older people had this stuff figured out. I always thought older Christians, man, they don't have no problems. I mean, they figured out the battle. They know how to fight it. They know how to get through it. And you know what? Some do. But that don't keep the battle from coming. So he said that they were written for our learning. So we learn what God will do for his people. We will that God, you go to Acts 27 and look at the Apostle Paul. He was on that boat in the middle of that storm. And you know what? They had to cast everything off that boat. And they had to ride that thing out to the very violent end. They hadn't ate. They hadn't seen the sun nor the moon and the stars in many days. And for 14 days they fasted. And then God sent his angel, sent him a little word over there. He said, Paul, I'm going to get you there and I'm going to give you everybody that's on this boat. But they got to stay with the ship. They got to stay on the boat if they're going to make it. And then even in all that, the ship wrecked. And they still made it. That's what's amazing, ain't it? He had to fight the violence of the storm and had to swim to shore and do some work on the boat itself to keep it from falling apart out in the sea. And then when they finally drove it in toward land and got that thing stuck where the hinder part of the ship just come apart, then they still had to swim to shore on all of it. And the Bible says those that could swim, swim, and those that couldn't got them a piece of board on the ship and they floated in. Your boat may not always float in real easy, but you'll always get there. We need this book. You need God's Word to comfort you and to help you. I need this book. I need to read this book. I need it. There's an old song that I grew up with that I've been singing here lately. And I think I made mention of it the other day. We sang it in the Redback book. I believe it's in the Redback book. I need thee every hour. And don't we need the Lord every hour? We just don't need him on Sundays and Wednesdays. And we just don't need him to bless our food. We need thee every hour, most precious God. You know, in that song, it talks about come quickly. When he's talking about being in distresses in that song, he says, come quickly, or we're going to be destroyed. We need the Lord. We need this book. You need to read this book. It'll help you if you'll just read. How many times has the Lord gave you Scripture just to get you through the day? How many times have you meditated on Scripture? Now, you better be careful about opening your Bible and saying, well, Lord, and I've been guilty of it, and say, Lord, I'm going to open my Bible and you give me something good to read over here when it falls open. You better be careful about that. John will be in the well before it's over with now. But say, Lord, give me some Scripture.
bring to mind. Let me read something. Lord, that'll help me. He said, oh, that men, in verse 20, four times. I believe it's four times we find that he says they cry in the Lord in their trouble and he delivered them out of their stresses four times. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You need to praise him. I know we talked about thanking him, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time right here, and I know we've talked about giving a testimony, but you need to praise him from the heart. You need to praise him in your home. You need to praise him in this house. Four times they cried out, and God delivered. And every time God delivers, you ought to praise him. Say, Lord, I want to thank you for delivering. Number five, let me say this. I got two, one more to go after this. Stay with me, okay? And I'm going to be hurried. Number five, you need to get busy. What do you mean you need to get busy about things? You need to get busy. You know, if you get busy for the Lord, praising and testifying and telling and studying and doing what we need to do, then we don't have much time and that to be thinking about all this other stuff. And then let me say this, and I learned this the hard way in pastoring full time, I need to be busy. My mind needs to be occupied with something good. Because I'm going to tell you, your mind will begin to run away with you and head down the wrong path if it don't have something that it needs to be occupied on. Do you understand what I'm saying? You ever heard the old saying that idle hands are the devil's workshop? So is the idle mind. I had a boss that used to say that when he'd come into my workshop. At the end of the day, you know, about the last 15 minutes of the day, you'd always sweep up and clean up and get ready for the day. And a lot of times we'd be standing up on a shelf somewhere with a broom in our hand, and that was always his favorite saying. When he'd come walking through, he'd say, now the idle hands are the devil's workshop now. I always get into something you don't need to be. And I warn pastors, especially those that are new to full-time pastoring, if you don't keep your mind occupied, you'll worry yourself to death about things. The devil will take control of your mind if you'll let him, and he'll turn it against you. Has he ever done that to you? He's done it to me. Has he ever used your mind against you? Listen, he's done it to me. We just need to stay busy. We need to be occupying. Luke 19, I almost preached on that this morning, but didn't feel like that's what we needed. And it said he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Do what you're supposed to do. Be about the Lord's business. Stay busy though. Keep your mind busy. Keep it occupied in the things of the Lord. Be doing what you need to do. Last of all, look in the last verse and I'll close. Keep your mind occupied with the right things, not with the wrong things. Amen? Why do you think I preach so much against or preach on what you watch on TV and what you let into your mind through your telephone and what you read and what you listen to? It affects your mind, and if you let it go far enough, it'll affect your heart. But verse 43, he said, who is wise and will observe these things? Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. If you'll do these things, you'll see the loving kindness of the Lord and you'll understand it. You'll know that His loving kindness toward us. You'll understand that He saved us, He keeps us, He helps us. He's always going to be there for us. He's coming again for us. You'll see His loving kindness towards you. Don't the Lord love us? And has the Lord not been kind to us? It's toward the world. We'll even see the loving kindness toward the world. The Bible said He maketh it to rain on the just and the unjust. God's good to this lost world out here. God's good to them. He would have been correct and been right if He would have wiped all of us out. God's right in His judgment. All I want you to see is when we get to the end of it all and we thank Him and we give a testimony, And we praise Him and we call out on Him and we rejoice in Him and we read our Bible. And listen, I'm not dug deep on none of this stuff this morning, but we will then begin to see the loving kindness that God has toward us, that He has been good to us, that He has helped us. It's like that old poem talking about the footprints in the sand. I don't know who wrote that. I don't. But in Footprints in the Sand, it talks about looking back over your life as if it was out by the ocean. And the writer of that poem asked the Lord the question, this was the hardest time in my life. Why was there just one footprint in the sand instead of two? Why did you leave me there? You know, the writer says it was not. The Lord answered and said, it's not your footprints that you see. That's mine. That's where I carried you. And we begin to see the loving kindness of the Lord. And you know what we do? We begin to look back over our life and we see the crazy times and the hard times. And we see those one footprints in the sand. And we understand the loving kindness of God, that that's where He carried us through all those hard times to see us through it. Listen, if life's driving you crazy, you look up to heaven and you thank God. And you give a testimony about the Lord. And listen, you cry out to Him and He'll see you through it. You read your Bible and listen, and you give Him praise and you just thank Him for it all. And you know what you'll do when you get busy and serving and get busy and doing what you need to be doing? And I'm just talking about working every day. Just keep your mind occupied. You say, I ain't got nothing to do. Get a pair of post hole diggers. Go out in the backyard and dig a hole and set the dirt over here and then dig another hole and take that dirt and fill it in and go over there. It'll give you something to do. You don't need to be sitting around with nothing to do. It'll drive you crazy if you sit around with nothing to do, friend. You'll worry yourself to death. Go find something to do. But then you'll see the love and kindness of the Lord. Let's stand this morning as we bow our heads across the house.